Okay, thank you. Good evening. This is a non-business meeting of the KPFK local station board that we scheduled to do a little orientation on the question of the powers and duties of the local station board, how we carry them out through electing directors to the national board and serving on national board committees and also through our own committee structure. My name is Michael Novick. I'm the current chair of the local station board, but that will be ending. This is my tenure is, you know, will be up for election or re-election, whatever the case may be, when the new delegates are seated on the local station board in a meeting next Wednesday. So this is a non-business meeting. And we do have a delegates assembly coming up to vote on some bylaws amendments, and that has to be the existing delegates and local station board members, because it has to happen within the same year and period of service of the Pacifica National Board, which is considering the bylaws amendment. So that will be a different body than is then seated on the 15th. So that meeting is on the 12th. It's a Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and it's open to the public. And those bylaws are posted. The bylaws amendments under consideration are posted on Pacifica.org. There are four of them. You can see them there. They've been there's been an airing of a card saying that they're available for perusal there. But we're not going to take that up tonight. Tonight we are looking at the bylaws regarding the local station board. And if people do have the option or ability to look at a computer and take a look at them, it would be helpful. But I did send around various emails announcing this meeting. So we have with us today Ziri Rizzo, who is recently elected to be a listener delegate. I see Kim Kaufman on the call, who's a former member of the board. Grace Aaron was recently elected and has previously served as both a delegate and a director. I think was once even the interim executive director of Pacifica. Ralph Hawkins, who ran that election. Rob Macon is a current a member of the local station board. Oyekunle Oyeyipo, I hope I pronounced that correctly, is also recently elected. I see Myla Reeson, who is a staff delegate. Currently,
you did a good enough job.
Thank you. John Markowitz, a listener member, not on the board. Beth Van Gunten, who is a current delegate and director on the Pacifica National Board. Bel De Soto, who is a current delegate and was just reelected. Fred Blair, who is our current treasurer and is streaming the call for us. And as I say, this is Michael Novick. I was have been serving as chair for this past year and was just recently reelected to the board. So if you want to look at the Pacifica.org, the Article 7, which has what we're going to be looking at. There was also a chart that was sent around, but I think it's probably better to look with the language. Article 7, Local Station Board, Section 1, Local Station Boards. There shall be a standing committee of the Board of Directors for each foundation radio station, which shall be known as the Local Station Board, LSB. The powers, duties, and responsibilities of the LSBs, there'll be those set forth in these bylaws and such other powers, duties, and responsibilities as the board of directors may from time to time delegate to them. So the expression delegates has to do with the fact that the delegates are actually, in a sense, a higher body than the local station boards, even though it's the same people. The delegates are elected by the membership and get to elect and name who the directors are. And can also have the power to remove directors. But serving as the local station board members, we are a subcommittee of the, or a committee of the national board, and have the powers that are mentioned. So maybe somebody else would like to do a little reading if they have it in front of them, or the second thing is the composition of the local station board. Somebody would like to read that, or...
Michael, you want me to read the composition?
I see a hand up from Myla. Myla, were you trying to say something?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Michael. I was wondering,
Do we have quorum? Are we going to be conducting any business?
No, it was posted as a non-business meeting. It's an optional meeting. It's basically an orientation session, particularly for people newly elected and for all of us to review what our powers and duties are and to see how we can best carry them out. But it's not a business meeting. There won't be any motions. There's not a quorum necessary to do what we're doing tonight. It is being streamed.
Do we have an agenda?
The agenda is to review the powers and duties of the local station board and how we carry them out in our committees and by electing directors. So that's what the agenda is. It was sent around several times to people.
Mr. Chair, do you want me to read?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead, Bella?
Okay, Article 7, Local Station Board, Section 2, Composition of Local Station Boards. Each LSB shall consist of the 24 delegates elected by the members of that radio station, 18 listeners, sponsor delegates, and 6 staff delegates. 4 of the delegates for each radio station shall also concurrently serve as directors of the foundation, as set provided in Section 3 of Article 5 of the bylaws. In addition, an associate station, if any, as that term is defined in Section 8 of this article, may appoint one representative to the LSB of the radio station with which it is associated. Associate station representatives shall be voting members of the LSB, provided, however, that no associate station representative shall have the right to vote for the election or removal of any foundation director or delegate, nor may he or she be eligible for election by the delegates to the office of the director. No LSB shall have more than a total of 3 associate station representatives and no more than 1 from any one associate station at any given time. The term of office of an associate station representative shall be 3 years with a maximum of 2 consecutive 3-year terms. Of service on an LSB. The station's general manager shall serve as a non-voting member of the station's LSB. That's it.
Okay, so the associate station, if people might be aware, I think the only station that has an associate station is the KFCF. It used to be an associate station of KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley. And I think they did have someone on the board there, but I don't think they do now. Myla, you want to speak again? Go ahead.
Yes, I do. as many of you are aware, I am assuming, there were a number of people who received votes who were disappeared from the tally for our positions on the local station board and as delegates. And that matter is yet to be settled. It is before the court. And the composition of the new station board may be different than what it is right now, as currently, you know, as we're recognized by this meeting. And I think it was probably a mistake not to, at the very least, include those other individuals who may actually be duly elected and who may be, because of the decision of the court, may join us on this board. So I think it's kind of, and other people here may not be on the board. That matter is pending. There will be a hearing on, I believe, December 29th, I believe. And so this is sort of an unusual situation where we have people who received, from what we understand, sufficient votes to be elected to this board who were not included in this meeting. I think that's a mistake.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella. if I may be heard.
Go ahead, Bill. I can't remember if there's a hand raise function on Zoom. I think if you do star 9,
star nine.
Raise a hand. Yeah. But go ahead.
I will start doing that. Sorry. I forgot. I wanted to address Myla's concern. It is concerning, but no one has been excluded from this meeting. Everyone has been invited, and there was no exclusion. So I'm not a brand new member. I've been around for a while, and but I'm here because I also want to learn if there's anything I have missed. But given that there is a court decision on December 29th, so be it. But no one has been excluded from this session, this non-business session of the LSB, KPFK LSB.
Jonathan,
I did announce it. I see you, John. Erica Jacobs has a hand, but I want to say that I send out a weekly KPFK LSB news, and I've noticed this a couple times in that, circulated widely to a bunch of open lists, and it is posted on kpftx.org, including the Zoom information. So anybody who wants to join is welcome to do so. Eric, go ahead, and then John.
I just want to say in response to Myla's point that unfortunately Pacifica has been beset by a very ill-advised highly destructive litigation, and also two back-to-back listener-initiated sweeping referendums to completely replace the current bylaws with a different set of bylaws, which were thinly disguised efforts to commandeer control of the entire Pacifica Foundation by a self-appointed tiny group of members who took advantage of the language in the current bylaw to do those very, very destructive acts for which they should be ashamed of themselves, but they have no shame. So part of what is happening now and will be heard in court, as mentioned, is the continuation of that initiative. And fortunately, some of the people in Pacifica who recognize our vulnerability as a foundation to these kind of misguided efforts have put 4 proposals that will be voted on in our next meeting, our full next official meeting, up or down, that will try to put some deterrence in place to future iterations of this type of misbehavior. So I'm sorry it came up at this meeting. I mean, I'd like this meeting to be a relatively upbeat session for the new people who are joining us. I'm going into my 3rd year on the LSB, and I wanted to join the meeting to constructively participate. And I regret that we've been having to even address this issue. Thank you.
Okay, John had a hand up, and then I would like to try to move on, if we can, to the business at hand, which is reviewing the, what the powers and duties of the LSB are. Again, the meeting is open to anybody. Go ahead, John.
Okay, are you recognizing me? This is Jonathan.
Yes, John Markowitz, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Myla, I'm interested, I only caught the tail end of what you were describing in regards to the lawsuits regarding regarding candidates, LSB candidates who were not declared winners. Can you please just explain to me again about this? I didn't know about any lawsuit of such thing. Can you please just reiterate shortly what you were saying earlier? I'm sorry for having you repeat anything.
Jonathan, no apology is necessary, and thank you for the question. And let me just say that for full disclosure, I have been supportive of the efforts that Eric has characterized in a really what seems to be an inflammatory and dishonest way. And on the one hand, you say that you want this to be upbeat, and yet your statement was extremely inflammatory and insulting. Especially to someone like myself, who has been very supportive of the New Day Pacifica effort now, and the revision of the bylaws, which I think are really necessary and a good improvement to the current bylaws. At any rate, Jonathan, as you probably know, New Day Pacifica put a lot of effort into organizing in the last local station board election, and communicated with KPFK listeners in a wide variety of fashions. They sent out mailers, they made phone calls, and I shouldn't say they, because I should say we, because I was a part of that effort and I made some of those phone calls. And it appears that there were four candidates in particular who, if you look at the vote tallies, most likely received sufficient votes from the KPFK listeners to have succeeded in their goal to become a local station board representative. And at some point in time, someone instructed Simply Voting, the vote tallying service, to simply not calculate the votes that were cast for those individuals. And so that matter is part of a legal action that is going to be heard by the court, as I said before, at the end of this month, close to the end of this month. And it's my understanding, if you'd like, I'm pretty sure if you go to the New Day Pacifica website, you might actually be able to see those court filings. But if you're not able to find them, I can make those files. They are public, and I can send you a copy of the filing, but it pretty dramatically shows that those individuals most likely did have a lot of support from KPFK listeners. And and unfortunately, one of them, our dear friend Will Ryan, passed away very recently. So
sorry to hear that.
He will not, obviously, be joining.
Can you
us,
name the other three candidates filed this action?
Of course, John. They're Adam Woolman and Robert Payne, who I believe is already on this board. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Robert Payne and
he's currently serving.
And Nancy Perlman. And those three may have received sufficient support from KPFK listeners to have been elected, and they were simply disappeared, as it were, without any written public explanation from when the results of the tally was announced.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Myla.
There is
a request in the chat that we get to the actual topics of the meeting, and we are going to do that.
Chair, the chair could Myla please restate Nancy's last name? It was obscured by noise.
Perlman.
On the call.
Nancy Perlman. She was a former
Thank
board member.
Much.
She resigned to run for public office. She ran again in the last election. So just to say, my impression is that there was some kind of disqualification, and the votes that were cast for those people were all passed along to somebody else on their list. They were not uncounted. If you look at the tally, you'll see that one person got over 1,000 votes, which means that they accumulated the votes from everybody else who voted for other people that were not disqualified. Again, we're still awaiting a report from the National Election Supervisor. I don't know why it's not been made available, but it's
I dispute your characterization, and I also dispute your characterization.
All right.
For the record.
In any case, we're going to go on to the rest of the agenda for tonight, which is to review the local station board's powers and duties and how we carry them out. So is there someone who would be interested in reading the next item in the bylaws regarding the local station boards, which is the powers and duties? It's fairly lengthy. Maybe we can take some turns. Just speak up because I'm looking back and forth to the thing. No? Okay, Ziri, go ahead. You have to unmute yourself, Ziri. Ziri, you're muted.
Sorry, my computer was just... Okay, so Article 7, each LSB acting as a standing committee of the Foundation's Board of Directors shall have the following powers, duties, and responsibilities related to its specific radio station under the direction and supervision of the Foundation's Board of Directors. A, to review and approve that station's budget and make quarterly reports to the Foundation's Board of Directors regarding the station's budget, actual income, and expenditures. B.
Okay, so let's stop at that one for a minute because part of the point is to talk about how we do that, and how we do that is through the Finance Committee, which just met. I wonder if some of the people around the Finance Committee want to say a little bit more about that. Bella, you have a hand up?
Yes, thank you. We are at an impasse right now because it has been a very difficult situation obtaining proper documentation on a regular basis and timely and transparently. And while there have been many complaints for years that we were not getting those documents accordingly, at least we knew that we had an accounting system in-house that was able to provide such financial instruments. Now everything has been turned over to an outside source company called Netta, and this began as of October 1st. The dilemma there is that we no longer have someone that we can call on to come to the Finance Committee meetings monthly to give us a written report of the status of the station, give us other reporting as to how much accounts payable, meaning the obligations to pay out, the cash balance, how we are doing on the fund drives, although, again, I stress, never accurate or that reliable, but at least we could depend on getting some information and a local profit and loss. And when we would get lucky, we would get a general ledger through director's inspections. Now we are up the river without a paddle, and we are dependent and completely in dependency of this outfit called Netta when and if they decide to send out the P&L monthly statements, and we have been getting them very late. So we are in a very difficult situation locally to review and submit reports. Thank you.
Beth, I'm going to have a hand up, and then I wanted to say something myself. But go ahead, Beth.
Yes, I'm disturbed that much of this meeting is being sidetracked into a litany of grievances rather than a review of the basic functions of the board and the committees and our responsibilities as board members.
Yeah.
and to allow time to be taken to deflect the discussion into these various backwaters, I think is a real misuse of the opportunity to get oriented, to get connected, get off hopefully on the right foot. And I would hope that from this point on, we'll stick to the actual agenda. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I see your hands here. I wanted to comment on the language first. So again, this is the reason this is A, I think, is that's probably one of the most important responsibilities besides electing directors to review and approve the station's budget and make quarterly reports to the foundation's board of directors regarding the station's budget, actual income and expenditures. It is problematic because we've been functioning not functioning as we should under this bylaw. And that starts with management, actually. We have not had, we did not have a budget, an approved budget all of last year. And we're already into the next fiscal year, almost the first quarter completed. And we still don't actually have a budget for the current fiscal year. So we are looking forward to a budget proposal from the new general manager, which will have to be reviewed by the LSB. Basically, that review happens in the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee is a committee open to all members of the local station board, and we have a protocol that allows also non-members of the LSB to participate. It does not say monthly, although we do look for the monthly reports, but we do have a responsibility to look at it quarterly and make reports to the PNB regarding the discrepancies between the budget and the actual income and expenditures. If there are expenditures that are out of line, we need to call attention to them. If there's income that's declining, we need to call attention to it. Ziri had a hand up, and then I'm not sure if your hand is back up, Beth, or it just wasn't lowered.
Thank you, Michael. So I do see that since I've been at the Finance Committee for the last six times or something, I do feel that there is in the moment not the tools available to actually fulfill this number A. You know, we don't know the budget exactly. We don't know the itemized, expenditures and income and everything. And so what isn't even worse for me is that I do feel I hear you, Beth, and I'm also frustrated, just like you, with the way how never these things are discussed that we're actually wanting to discuss. But I feel the reason for that is that the rules of engagement in our conversation are not being kept by a lot of members. I see that everybody's beating up on Bella, and I don't even want to get into this here, but there has to be a way that we learn a different kind of company culture. And for this, for me, transparency is the main thing. And as long as we have people secretly muted so they can't vote or speak, if we have secret task force, nobody has an idea what's happening, I don't think this is helpful to regain trust. And I think the lack of trust is actually what has made this financial committee not effective, where we cannot even talk about what the issue is. Thank you for listening.
Beth, is your hand back up?
I don't have any way of taking it down from my end.
I'll lower it.
I would like to reiterate that I think the purpose of this meeting is orientation to the board function and not just a grievance session. You know, people don't have even the basic overview of how things are supposed to function enough to be able to have a context to understand the various factions that have been complaining tonight. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll
read B. To screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of general manager of its respective radio station, from which pool of approved candidates the executive director shall hire the station's general manager. The LSB may appoint a special subcommittee for this purpose. That is, again, a very important power that the local station board has and that we did exercise this past year. We constituted a general manager search committee. We conducted a very extensive search. We developed criteria and a job description. that part of it was public, and then we, you know, in confidentiality, interviewed a number of candidates and recommended a pool to the ED, and someone was hired, who is now the current general manager, Mikel Calzada. I don't know if anybody wants to say anything more about that. It's probably not going to happen very soon again, but I think we did establish a very good basis for doing it. Point C is to prepare an annual written evaluation of the station's general manager, and that is something we will be doing probably as the new local station board is constituted. Normally then we have a personnel committee, and the personnel committee, you know, works on that and makes recommendations to the local station board, which then, you know, can develop an evaluation. We've sometimes had majority and minority reports within that, or suggestions for improvement that we'd like to see from the general manager. Would someone like to read D? Or Belly, have a hand up?
Yes, I wanted to add to that, Michael, that since I've been on the personnel committee, there are surveys that are also sent out to the membership, listeners, to the staff, to gather responses to questions that are drafted and coordinated by, from the personnel committee, to get a feeling as to how they feel about the persons in management. So that's also part of the mix.
Yeah, thank you. Would someone like to read D?
Sure. Hold on, please. Okay. So that would be elections of officers?
No. Article 7, Section 3, Letter D, both the executive director.
Oh, here we go. Letter D. Both the executive director and or an LSB may initiate the process to fire a station general manager. However, to effectuate it, both the executive director and the LSB must agree to fire said general manager. If the executive director and the LSB cannot agree, the decision to terminate or retain said general manager shall be made by the board of directors.
So the board of directors, again, is the PNB, the Pacifica National Board.
Correct.
And
do
again,
you want me to go on?
Well, maybe if somebody else does, you know, just give people a chance to participate. I don't know. I don't see any other hands, though. Oh, go ahead, Ziri. Yeah.
To screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of station program director, from which pool of approved candidates the station's general manager shall hire the station's program director. The LSB may appoint a special subcommittee for this purpose.
So again, we, I think in the past, have constituted a program director search committee, and currently there is no program director. There was financial necessity to reduce management as much as possible to try to minimize the staff cut that would take place, but we're continuing to cut both management and staff. So as to whether or when we will have new program director is unclear, but if it looks like we can afford one, then that process would take place. We would probably designate a program director search committee by electing members to that committee from within the local station board, and the committee would do the same thing of posting the position, you know, the job description, seeking candidates from as diverse a body as possible, which is what we've done every time we advertise in various places to you know, attract candidates and then interview them. And again, F follows up from that to prepare an annual written evaluation of the station's program director. Again, the process of hiring the ED hires the GM, and the GM hires the PD. The LSB is involved in in that process of, you know, finding a pool of candidates for them to consider. Any questions from people, or everybody clear about this? I'm trying to coordinate it to the committees that carry out the function, and that's generally the case. And for each of these things, there's a committee doing it. So F is to prepare an annual written evaluation of the station's program director. And again, that has been done in the past, that we don't currently have a program director, but it was done in the past by the personnel committee and then advisory to the local station board. Valerie, you had your hand up, or you just haven't lowered it?
No.
Okay. I'll lower it.
It raised
that's
again.
Fine.
Sorry.
That's right. That's fine. I lowered it.
Okay.
So G, very, very important here, to work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation and is responsive to the diverse needs of the listeners, demographic and communities, geographic, served by the station, and that station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. So again, this is very much where the rubber meets the road, because as has been said in other places, that the fiscal issues of the station, the lack of financial support, relates to the programming. And so we do have a program oversight committee. I don't know, Beth, you want to say something about that? Did we lose Beth? No, there she is. Beth, do you want to talk to the program oversight committee?
Sorry, I was muted. I was speaking to myself here. Yes, the programming oversight committee meets every month on the third Monday of each month at 4 o'clock, telephonically these days, and everyone's welcome to take part. We have a number of LSB members, as well as the provision to include public members as well. And we designate a topic for discussion each month. In the past, when we had a programming director, he joined us reliably every month. And I look forward to a time when we can have staff representatives present again. That's part of why we schedule it at 4 o'clock, so that it will be at least partly, it'll begin during regular working hours to include staff. We don't have representation from staff these days. I hope we're able to remedy that soon. It would make a big difference in being able to communicate and coordinate listener preferences to staff, so that they could, that listeners' preferences would be more reflected in the program. Again, anyone interested is welcome to look for us on the KPFTX calendar, and the call-in information will be there. We'll look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Okay, I see Bella and then Jerry.
Thank you. So, yes, I am a member of the Program Oversight Committee. I have been for years. And the issue, of course, that the Programming Committee was very robust some years back, where it would meet with management regularly and suggest and provide protocol, et cetera. We also used to have a program council, which I'm hoping would be activated sometime in the near future. But these committees need to be really working in tandem with management and the program director. However, I just disagree with Beth. We did have the participation of one staff member. His name is Stuart Landau, and he is the tower engineer. So far, he was the one that was able to come on to the program oversight, and he actually shared a good deal of information with us. So and he took Q&A, so that's important. Any member of staff is important to come to any committee to share and partake and be with listeners, because that's what it's all about. The listenership that populate these committees is very important for all of us to be at the same page. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Ziri. Go ahead.
I have a question about G. So when it says that it has to be, you know, responsive to the diverse needs, specifically demographic and also geographic, how is it then possible that we use so much of the national programming currently on KPFK? Because I've noticed that some of the programs, they have references to New York or to, you know, Berkeley or other places, obviously. And so is it then not part of our mission, you know, to have more local programming, locally developed? Isn't that like something that's actually demanded of us?
Well, I agree with you. I think that that's one of the weaknesses, is that so much of the programming became a national, or if it was developed locally, it sought a national audience and kind of left some of the local matters behind. I do think that we did have a program council, as was mentioned by Bella in the past, and that played a much more active role than I think it's possible for the LSB to play in terms of working very closely with the program director, actually, in doing evaluation, coming up with criteria for evaluation. We were invited to vet some when there were openings in the grid to consider audition shows that were, you know, put forward, people pitching program ideas for those things. And I think that's something that does require a body of people who can devote a lot of time to it, maybe beyond what the local station board itself is capable of. But I think we should look into that possibility. I do think that, you know, the general manager is currently looking at the grid, and there is no program director. So I think that's going to be at that level at this point where some of the decisions are made. So I think if the kind of input you have, Ziri, probably should be directed, you know, to the GM. We could discuss it further in the local station board in terms of priorities like the ones you're talking about. I do think that the local station board several times in the past, and again currently, is, you know, looking to see reinstatement of local news. We've lost it many times and gotten it back maybe partially. And then once again, we have the KPFA news broadcast here, and I think that's one of the reasons we've lost listenership. Mm. So this again, the main vehicle currently is the Program Oversight Committee, PROC, but I think the possibility of a Program Council is something to look into. I believe there's a national programming committee suggestion about how to do that, which I'm not sure if it actually passed the PNB. I think it's still hanging fire. Number H, letter H, is conduct town hall style meetings at least twice a year devoted to hearing listener views, needs, and concerns. And basically that has been the task of the outreach committee, among others. I don't know if, Bella, you want to say something about the outreach committee and what else it does.
Sure. Sure. We have managed to hold two town halls per year. However, our last physical town hall, a very successful one, was in 2019 at the First Unitarian Church on 8th Street, Los Angeles. That was great. That was promoted on air. And the program director that promoted it on air was Kevin Fleming. He's no longer with us. Beyond that, it has been
very
difficult.
He was there in person also. He came to the town hall.
Well, I was going
Kevin
to get there.
Kevin Fleming came to the town hall, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
ahead,
you interrupted. Okay. And he also gave his presentation on stage, and he took Q&A. There were many people that were upset, and he weathered that. But going back to recent times, myself, I have incurred bills that I've had to pay. just to send out email blasts to the membership to educate them and alert them of the upcoming town hall events, because the station has refused to promote it. We had the same situation on November 20th, although we had a very good turnout, people that participated. Later on, I printed out the full call-in, and the people that called in, because not everybody connected through their computers, and we had a very reasonable turnout, the computer log, the call-in log. The thing is that per the bylaws, we need to hold at least 2 town halls per year. I'm hoping that next year we can start holding them in real time out in the community where we should be. And the outreach committee, we just did a great outreach effort at the 76th annual Northeast Parade. Paul Roberson, LSB member, Janine Ron, secretary and LSB member, and myself. We had a very good time, and we outreached to many people, handed out a lot of information, you know, just to let the community know who we are, that we're here, and to invite them in. And that's what we have been doing for years, except for the last year and a half. We've been somewhat crippled, but we meet also the outreach community. The outreach committee meets via Zoom the last Sunday of the month from 11:30 a.m., and all kinds of people join in from different stations. It's very lively. Everyone is welcome. There is no protocol to restrict conversation. And then I make the audio available, and it's posted at KPFTX. So the outreach committee functions very differently. It's an open, very open space and comfortable for everyone to be heard. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I do think that this is a very important responsibility of the board, not just in terms of the town halls, but doing that kind of outreach and sort of ambassador for the station. I think I would like to see us try to revive the Friends of KPFK, a network that once existed in different communities where people, you know, play a role in repping the station and doing outreach for the station beyond the ranks of the LSB itself. So I think that this would be a very, very positive development this coming year if we can try to get some of that happening. I realize that the pandemic has obviously put some constraints, but for example, there was a Ciclovia in South LA just this past week. The station did not have a presence there. I did go and I passed out a couple of hundred copies of Changelings, which is a paper that Bill and I both work on. It does have information about the station. It had an article interview with the GM and other, you know, the calendar lists different station events in it. But I think the more we can create a physical presence for KPFK out in the community and bring some of those community voices on the air, the better off we'll be.
Mr. Chair, we also handed out Changelings, and we showed the article, yes, the interview with the GM, Miguel Calzada, and that was a very good selling point as well. Yeah.
Good.
And I agree with you, the sense of sense of KPFK, yes.
Yeah, when we've had a discussion about this, I had a promotional idea I put forward a while ago was to put out a bookmark with something like Radio for Readers as a slogan, with, you know, KPFK's call letters and signals and some of the shows that might be of interest to literary-minded people. Unfortunately, most of the shows got canceled. Poetry Cafe was dropped. The Bibliocracy was dropped. But I think if we can restore some of that type of programming and then do that kind of outreach, we could easily leave, station promotional bookmarks at libraries around Southern California, bookstores, and maybe attract some listeners that don't even know we exist.
There is a bookmark that KPFK produced. There is a bookmark already. We just have to reprint it.
I've never seen that. I know KPFA had one. I've never seen one for KPFK. And
I saved a couple. Maybe okay. I'll show it to you.
All right. I still think it needs to have a slogan on it that attracts attention to the radio, and it needs to list programming that is relevant to people who are literary
readers.
Anyway, letter I is to assist in station fundraising activities. And Janine is not on the call, but we do have a fundraising committee again. Rob was on that at one point, and we have started doing some things. We're talking about trying to do some community events again. We did do some phone banking. Janine and I laid out the money for internet-based mechanism to do the phone calling, and we were at the station this past weekend and called several hundred people who had lapsed in their membership. But I think there are a lot of things that we can do. There's also a national development task force from the Pacifica National Board that a number of us are on. Eric is on that. If you want to say more about that, Eric, or Beth, I think is... been convening that on a national level, but Beth's spoken a couple of times. Eric hasn't spoken recently. Eric, you want to say anything more about that? You have to unmute. No, maybe he's not there. I don't know. Do why don't you speak? I can't quite read everything in the chat there. Oh, I see. I'll just read it. Sue Cohn says that community events usually just break even, but they get us more known in the community. That's true. So it's publicity.
Can you repeat that, Mr. Chair? I did not understand. You said it so quickly.
Sorry, Sue Cohn in the chat. You can't see the chat because you're on the phone. She wrote that community events sometimes only break even, but they get us better known in the community. So they have repercussions beyond just how much money they raise.
Right.
Anybody want to read letter J? Go ahead, Ziri.
To actively reach out to underrepresented communities to help the station serve a diversity of all races, creeds, colors, and nations, classes, genders, and sexual orientations and ages, and to help build collaborative relations with organizations working for similar purposes.
So that, you know, that's right in line with the Pacifica mission, and it's the responsibility of the local station board to help carry it out. One of the ways we do that is there is what's called a Pacifica National Board Committee. It's called the Committee of Inclusion, but there's a Committee of Inclusion for each of the five stations, and we have one here. The Committee of Inclusion includes one director and three delegates, one member of the Pacifica National Board, and three people who are just on the local board. But then it can add to its membership people who can help fulfill that responsibility. And the Committee of Inclusion has a very broad mandate. It's elsewhere in the bylaws. We can look at it later on. But along these lines, to help identify people who are underserved or underrepresented and bring them in all aspects of the station, including governance, trying to figure out how to, you know, get more people to run for the board, trying to make sure that the staffing and the programming, response to all these diverse communities that we serve, as it says, geographic and demographic elsewhere. So that committee, again, would be open to people on the local station board immediately, or if anyone is elected as director. Lawrence Reyes, I think, is currently the director on that, but he had a union meeting tonight and couldn't stay for this. Letter K. Anybody? Go ahead.
To perform community needs assessments or see to it that separate community advisory committees are formed to do so.
Yeah, so this is a big one, and we are in the process. Beth maybe can say more about that as well. We're trying to constitute a community advisory board. The community advisory board is separate from the governance, but governance does play a role in getting it created, and we're trying to do that to happen. If we want to, whether or not we want to qualify for the CPP grants, but it is a requirement if we do want to and are able to, is to have a functioning community advisory board. And I think carrying out the community's assessment would be an important task for that board to do, as well as the same kind of ambassadorial and outreach engagement with the community. So we've had a series of meetings trying to identify some people, and if members of the board have people in mind, we're looking to put forward a motion. Beth, did you want to say more about that? Because I think it might be coming up probably in January, I guess, at this point, because it's going to be a big meeting, busy meeting in December with elections. Beth still here? We lost her. Anyway, the Community Advisory Board is a requirement of the CPB if you want to qualify for the Community Service Grant, and it is a mechanism beyond the local station board itself. I think hopefully it will be constituted. If you do have candidates in mind, please let us all know. And I believe that we want to try to have it functioning well by May of this year, so that by May of next year, if possible, we could demonstrate to the CPB if we choose to go that route. Bella, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to say, as a former chair of the CAB before I was on the board years ago, we would hold the CAB meetings at different cities, including South, East, and North. And so we would go to different libraries, different community centers, and that was the way to motivate the community. Before going to those communities, we would go there and farm the nearby area to let people know about what was coming up. And so that's the way to do it, is to outreach to the community within the area that you want to visit and hold the meeting. So that when the meeting happens, you get a good turnout. And so the station would do this for a while. This was through 2009-10. So, yeah, there you go. And like you said, the CAB has to function independent from the LSB, and it has to be chaired by non-LSB, but it can get instruction and support by the station. I even submitted a petty cash protocol to management so that we could print flyers and just handouts. That was never approved. It was for $150. So that's as far as it went back then. But I covered all the costs, travel, printing, etc.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so there is, language in the Communications Act, which both created the FCC, but also specifies the CAB as a requirement for CPB funding. But they discuss what the powers and responsibilities of the CAB are, and one of them is basically to review based on this community needs assessment, really, to review a management proposal for programming goals for the coming year. And I think that would be something very useful to have in hand and to be able to have that evaluation of it. And they are supposed to present something annually to the local station board based on that. So, this has been honored in the breach for many years in the past, and we haven't had really a functioning one for some time. And I think doing that community needs assessment and doing that, a serious overall evaluation based on a proposal from management would really, improve the station's capacity to meet the needs and to grow its audience. Sue Cohn Johnson, you have your hand up.
Yeah. Does anybody know where that pamphlet that KPFK it used to have? It's purple and with black and white pictures, and it was really cool. But I don't know who, if anyone still has an original that can be copied. That's all. They're great for the front desk and for events. Thank you.
Are you referring to the folio?
No. It's a 8.5 by 11 piece of paper.
Yeah, just folded, a hand up.
Mm-hmm. Folded in thirds.
Yeah, we can look for it. It's just a flyer folder. You know, there have been a lot of mechanisms, as Bella said, in terms of the cab that met. The local station board used to meet in different areas. When I was on the interim program council, we met around town, East L.A., South L.A., downtown, San Fernando Valley, Long Beach. And I think the more that we can encourage that type of activity, and as I say, I think if we can look for creating maybe the Friends of KPFK network, again, recreating it in different communities to do focus groups and feedback about what community needs are and what community organizations we can partner with, I think it would really strengthen the station dramatically. Sue, did you have your hands again, or did you want me to lower that? Okay. So moving on, we have K. Oh, we just did that. L, to ensure that the station works diligently towards the goal of diversity in staffing at all levels and maintenance of a discrimination-free atmosphere in the workplace. And that also falls, I think, under the Committee of Inclusion, primarily is how that's been done, because both in terms of programming, content, and staffing, governance, and management, we're looking for that diversity and anti-discrimination. I think having an anti-racist Pacifica would be a very positive development. Last one under this is M, to exercise all its powers and duties with care, loyalty, diligence, and sound business judgment, consistent with the manner in which those terms are generally defined under applicable California law. I think this speaks back again to what Siri was saying at the beginning, that we have to change a little bit of the culture of the governance to embody that care and to treat each other with respect and to try to have a sense of common purpose that can, you know, move us forward. Miley, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the appropriate time, but I just wanted to say that when I was on the board before, I served on the audit committee, on the National Audit Committee. Is this a good time to talk about that, or should I talk about it at some other point?
I did want to get to that because that's an important area. Is one of the major responsibilities of the local station board is to elect directors to the national board, or is not the, sorry, major source of the delegates is to elect directors to the national board, Pacifica National Board directors, and then the local station board is to seat people as members of the local board on the national board committees. So. Why don't we review that? Go ahead if you want to talk about the audit committee.
Well, sure. And I'd like to say that if it had not been for Kim Kaufman kind of giving me a fantastic orientation to that meeting, to that committee, I don't think that I could have been as effective on that committee as I believe that I was. Kind of reminds me of the importance of us all helping one another in our responsibilities, because Kim has really been a tremendous resource to this community in terms of really taking an objective, hard look at finances and specifically educating us about and educating me individually about the failure of Pacifica for many years to file a timely audit. And that resulted in tremendous financial, it contributed to the financial challenges faced by Pacifica and faced by our station in particular. And I'm wondering if we can get Kim to speak about that process directly. And I'm not really up to speed in terms of where we're at now. I believe that we've kind of gotten up to date with some of the audits, but I'm wondering if Kim would be willing to kind of brief us a little bit about on that audit process and where we are. Are you there? Are you with us, Kim?
Yeah, she just unmuted.
No, I'm here. I mean, if you want me to speak, I will.
Is that okay with everyone? I'd certainly like to hear an update from you and an analysis as well. A little history of how we got where we are now.
History, good God. For people that don't know what CPB is, it is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is a sort of a semi-government agency, privately funded, that gives grants to nonprofit, non-commercial educational radio stations like ours, and we used to get them up until about 2012, and we lost them. We lost the privilege of receiving those grants for a number of reasons. One, there were no timely audits, which is required yearly. Two, there were a lack of notice, proper notice of open meetings. All your meetings need to be noticed to the public on KPFTX 7 days in advance, and there needs to be an audio stream for CPB to be aware that you've had that meeting, and there need to be minutes. So we, you know, the whole network lost those grants, and this last August, I guess, they finally did get caught up on those audits. And so now they're trying to do the audit for fiscal year 21, which ended September 30th. Anybody that's interested in being on the audit committee, now, the audit committee is a national committee, but members from the local LSB can sit on there. Anybody that wants to be on there, I recommend that you, California corporations are required to have audits, and there are certain specifications for audit committees. This is not just Pacifica, you know, mumbo jumbo. These are legal requirements, and I urge anyone who wants to get on the audit committee who's interested in doing that kind of work to find out what those laws are and be compliant with them. Miley, you wanted to ask me something?
Yeah, just one more point.
Let me just make one more point that KPFK also back in 2012 lost its CPB funding separate from the national issues because of low listenership and low donations. And since then, KPFK has gotten only worse. So other stations within the network may qualify for the next round of, but I would bet a lot that KPFK will not be part of that consideration.
So Miley had another question.
Yeah,
just one
other point. It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm mistaken, Kim, that Congress allocates a certain pot of money to the CPB to distribute among stations. But if audits are not filed in a timely manner, even if they're filed late, that pot of money may be exhausted, and that may be another reason that the network, and let's just put KPFK's specific situation aside, that is another reason why we must be sure to file our audits in a timely manner, is that if we file them late, we're likely to miss out on that pot of money that's already been exhausted. Is that right?
No. Let me be more specific. I mean, that's partially right, but the main consideration, it is illegal. It is a law under the state of California that there is a requirement for yearly independent audits to be filed with the state of California to the attorney general. Well, not necessarily to the attorney general, but yearly 9 months after the close of the fiscal year. So not only would we, you know, put funding
your
from
hand
CCB
has been
in
raised.
Jeopardy, but we would be violating the laws of California. Pacifica has been under investigation by the attorney general for this and other things. So it's not, you know, you have to file yearly audits.
Yeah, thanks. A bunch of hands that came up. So in order that they came, I saw Eric, then Grace, and then Fred.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead,
Eric. I guess there's a desire to accentuate the negative in some quarters, but as someone who's served on the audit committee for two consecutive years now, I can attest and report, and as somebody who is an attorney, that Pacifica has complied with its duties to catch up and become current with its audit responsibilities, and that's good news and should be praised as deserved by Eileen Rosen, the woman who chaired the audit committee, who stewarded it well. Myself and Janine Roan are the incumbent LSB members on the audit committee, and of course that will be determined at our by the new LSB as to who serves in that role in the ensuing year. But I believe there's an annual replenishment of that position by vote of the LSB. And just to counter the negative messaging, I won't wish to say what I just did and indicate that in other respects too, Pacifica is endeavoring to get its financial house in order. There's a long way to go, and there was yeoman work in relation to the COVID crisis by the management of the national of Lydia Bazan and others, and including Netta, who worked very diligently to help us get two PPP loans, and I believe there's an EIDL loan that application pending. So work has been done, and we have unfortunately had a crisis of membership decline and listenership decline, which is probably a topic way too big for any one call. But with clearly attention needs to be paid to deficiencies in our programming that are not syncing up with the concerns of the public, including the vast left liberal public in Southern California in our listening area. There is a disconnect that is not being addressed. And that's the number one cause of our crisis. So anyway, I just wanted to respond as the member of the LSB, one of the two members on the audit committee.
Okay.
All is basically well in that regard and will continue to be so, I hope. Thank you.
Okay, so yeah, in terms of the orientation, I wanted to review that for a minute. So we have three meetings, in a sense, coming up. In December, the new delegates are seated as members of the local station board, and we elect our own officers. We elect a chair, a vice chair, a secretary, and a treasurer. The chair and the vice chair must be members of the local station board, must be delegates. The secretary and the treasurer do not need to be. The treasurer sits on the National Finance Committee along with one director from the station, each station. the national board picks the director who sits on the station for on the National Finance Committee for each station. The other committees of the national board include the audit committee, as was said, and you cannot be on the audit committee and the finance committee. So the treasurer or anybody else who serves on the audit committee cannot be treasurer and anybody who serves on the finance committee cannot be on the audit committee. And that's also a legal requirement. So the audit committee and the other committees of the national board, the national board picks a director from each station to serve on the committee, and the local station board pick two delegates to serve on the committee. So that's why we had two delegates on the national audit committee, along with one director from KPFK. And then each of the stations has the same grouping on the committee. So the committees are fairly substantial in number, because if there are five stations with three people from each station, those are 15 member committees, and they need to make quorum. That means if you're elected to such a committee, we really want you to fulfill your responsibility and show up for the meetings, so the meetings have quorum. There is a national programming committee. There's a national election committee. There's a national governance committee. I think all of those take members from the local station boards, and we elect those, I think, in February is the current timetable. So in December, we elect our own officers, and we take nominations for directors, and you must have at least 1 year of service on a local station board as a delegate before you can run for director. In January, we elect the directors. All this is by STV voting. We elect three listener directors from among our own ranks, and one staff director. So the staff director is basically an IRV vote, instant runoff vote, because there's only one seat to fill. There are three listener seats to fill, and those are STV, single transferable vote. And the entire LSB votes for both seats. So it's not that the staff members of the LSB elect the staff director and the listener members elect the listener director, but all 24 members get to vote for which staff member of the LSB becomes the staff director, and all 24 members of the LSB, listeners and staff alike, vote to see which three listener delegates become directors. And then directors serve on committees of the national board, obviously, because they're on the national board, but which committee they're on is determined by the national board itself. So the delegates who are not directors are elected by the local station board. That usually happens in February to fill out the ranks of the national committees. And people who are serving on committees at this point continue to serve until they're replaced. So, for example, if it's Eric and Janine right now, Eric, you need to mute. You know, Janine and Eric would continue to serve in the audit committee until they're replaced next year, basically early next year. So I had Grace, Fred, Ziri, and Bella. Grace, go ahead.
Okay, thanks for giving that rundown about the committees. I would like to say that in response to some things that Myla said and that Eric said, I think I agreed with most of what Eric said. It was really excellently stated. The bad news first, and then the good news. The bad news is that a number of our stations have had declining membership, listenership, gross income, and net income. This is a very sad situation. It started before COVID. It cannot be blamed on COVID. It cannot be blamed on our potential radio listeners migrating to other platforms, because number one, radio listenership in Southern California is greater now than it's ever been because of our traffic gridlock. It may have gone down during COVID, but nonetheless, we have a potential very high radio listenership. And we have two talk radio stations that have similar audiences to our own. That's KPCC and KCRW that have very high listenership and are very well supported. So there is no excuse We need to improve our programming so that it meets the needs of our potential listeners and our current listeners and members in Southern California. It's up to us. That's our business. We're here to put information on the air that will attract a broader listenership. Once we have a much broader listenership, we will have more income and we will have more support. So that's the first thing. So that's the bad news. And this is not only true of KPFK, it's true at several other stations, WBAI, WPFW, and KPFT are having struggles. However, WPFW actually has improved considerably, and they are not only meeting their budget, they have a bit of an excess of income over and above their budget. WPFW, our Washington, D.C. station, by the way, has always had the highest market share in my recollection, like the last 20 or 30 years of any of our Pacifica station. In other words, a higher percentage of people in their signal area listen to WPFW than the listeners at KPFA, KPFK, WBAI, or KPFT. So that is kind of the bad news, except for WPFW is kind of a new good news. KPFA has been holding its own. They're very well supported up there. However, they have also seen a decline in membership and listenership at KPFA. So it's not all rosy at that station either. Now, to go to the CPB requirements, I would have to say that we had in-house financial staff for many years. During the that's where we lost our CPB funding because our audits were backlogged for many years. Our internal financial on the national level, our internal financial staff was just not doing the job properly for keeping national books. That's the bottom line. We lost our CPB funding, and the national staff was extremely expensive. The national board took the initiative to hire an outside accounting firm to do that work. This it's called NETA. That's what we're using now. They are much less expensive than our internal CFO and CPAs and senior accountants under the CFO. The failed, and that was a failed for many years when we had internal national accounting. NETA has gotten our backlog audits done on a national level. We are now up to date, and they are starting to work on the 2021 audit, which will make us eligible for CPB funding and for other grants. So that's the good news. The other news that even though the national board has been maligned, I will have to say that we prevented bankruptcy. We settled a big debt of $5.7 million to the Empire State Realty Trust for $3.8 million, saving the foundation $1.9 million. After that, and we had stable governance for a while, we met many challenges successfully. As I said, we reduced the debt by $1.9 million. Also, at that time, Democracy Now! Forgave their debt to us of $2.3 million. So we had a decrease in debt on the national level of over $4 million. And that was under the much maligned national leadership board leadership of this foundation, which I think has done stellar work over the years and has been tireless in steering this foundation in a correct direction. What we need to do now is our national finances are stabilized. What we need to do now is focus on getting our stations so that they're more in touch with their communities and they put together programming that is much more attractive and educates and inspires our communities so that we have more listenership, that we're more relevant. And if we do that, we will be supported. That's the next challenge. That's all I have to say. But also one important thing is we need community advisory boards. Community advisory boards will help us to figure out what our communities need and want. And we need them because that's a requirement for Corporation for Public Broadcast funding. Corporation for Public Broadcast funding in the past has meant 10% of our gross income. That's a huge amount. And there have been no strings attached, to my knowledge, except for the requirement that we have corporate community advisory boards, and that we notice our meetings properly, and that we keep proper minutes and that kind of thing, which we should be doing anyway. There's no our programming itself has never been tampered with by the Corporation for Public Broadcast funding, and it means about $1 million a year to Pacifica as a whole. So it's people, please support and get people on the community advisory board. That's the top priority. It will mean a lot. We probably will qualify for CPB funding. We have to start now putting those community advisory boards together. Thank you.
Thanks. Fred, Ziri, and then Bella.
Michael, can you put me on the stack at the end, please? It's
sure.
Jim.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Jonathan, okay. On the stack, please.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Michael? Fred?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, we've been hearing all this talk about the CPB funding for the last 10 years since we lost it, as Kim said, in about 2012. It was a nice hunk of change, but people have to understand that it was only 10% of KPFK's income. Our vast majority of our income, what's causing us our major problems, is that 80% of our income is the fund drive income. And that's what's collapsed. And that's what's killing us. That's the problem. If we don't fix that, if we don't fix the fund drive income, we're gonna be out of business here at KPFK. It's just that stark. I hate to be so negative. People, I know it's, you know, it's the holiday season. None of us want to hear this, but the fund drives are a disaster at this point. We have a new general manager. We have great hopes for Miguel. But we have to hold his feet to the fire in terms of fixing our fund drive income. That's 80% of our income. That's where the problem lies. What has to be dealt with this new board that's going to be come into existence in another week. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. Ziri, and then Bella, and then John Markowitz. I'm sorry, Kim, also, yeah. Ziri? You have to unmute, Ziri.
Sorry. Okay, I wanted to say one thing. What I think has not been brought up, what lost membership at Pacifica, is that Pacifica has, in its content, drifted already a little further to the mainstream, into the NPR area. And in our times right now, where what used to be the left has suddenly become more right and a middle or right middle. It's like there's a lot of people stranded on the left who have no home, no political home, and also no media home. And I feel politically Pacifica used to be that station, and now it's not anymore. This is the same what I heard from Ian Masters. I thought, yeah, I can just listen to NPR if I have to listen to this stuff, you know, about Russia bashing, and I don't even want to go into all the details. And so I think we have to actually have a little more courage to really give a lot of these voices that used to be there a home at Pacifica. And of course, during COVID, people are out of money. So this happens to all the businesses right now, that they are not donating so much. So that's why we get PPP funding or stuff like this. But what I want to say as a second part is the careful consideration of the CPB funds. I understand that everybody was very fond of these funds, but CPB has changed. If you look into what I just put as information into the chat, this is a very simple Wikipedia entry, okay? It's not some great investigative research, but there has been a lot of problems with how the CPP has tried to influence not just NPR, but PBS, and how they have taken direct influence on the news programming there and made really political tests in order for you to qualify or not. And so I think this is something we have to be very aware of. And we can only afford to take anything like CPP money if we are willing to lose it all once they start trying to pull our strings. And so this is something I would like for all of you to research this corporation, because it has changed. New donors have shown up there that were not there before. And I think it's not so easy, as Grace said before, that there's no strings attached. It might have been true, but it's not anymore. Thank you.
Thanks. I can't remember all the order, but I think it was Bella, John Markowitz, and Kim. I see Mile has a hand up, and then I'll have something to say also. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, so I need to address certain things. Thank you, Ziri. Very well said. Absolutely. And not only that, CPP funding has also been funded by Bill Gates to a very high tune. We know his legacy, and it's very dangerous. Not only that, it compromises the $25 annual membership required in our bylaws for KPFK, for each station to thrive. Notice, this is never promoted. This stopped being promoted years ago. There's a reason for that, and it is a political move. To not publicize, to not promote the governance system of Pacifica over the airwaves. It is one reason why we are drying up, because there is no value beyond the fact that our programming is not reflecting the signal area. Beyond that, we are not promoting the governance. We're not promoting the elections. We are not promoting the town halls. We are not promoting anything. We are not doing anything. In other words, there's a station and there's an LSB. There's a Pacifica board and then there's a station. And the station is an island. It does not correspond. It does not associate. It does not collaborate with the LSB. This is the culture that must be ended immediately. I also wanted to also challenge the 2012 date or year when CPP funding was lost. It was in 2014, folks, and it was not only because of the noticing of the minutes, the lack of thereof, et cetera. For instance, the KPFT lost its funding because it had no programming of the Spanish language huge market area, no representation in its programming grid. KPFK, likewise, does not represent its listening signal. And until we decide to look at that seriously, that we need our local programming back, that we need a local full-time news department, we are not going anywhere. And stop talking about being a repeater, because then you will be held responsible. Directors must be held responsible for making the wrong decisions, okay? They should not find cover. So I'm very distraught over this. And the fact that WPFW has had a higher market share, that's fine. But it's a very difficult market area than, let's say, Los Angeles, than KPFA, than New York City and KPFT. So it's a very difficult, very different animal. Thank you.
John, then Kim and Myla and then myself. And I try to stay focused on what we're actually talking about, which is the National Board Committees and electing of directors.
Well, I'm going to address what Grace brought up, as well as I want to totally agree with Ziri, especially in regards to the idea that, you know, once you have qualified again for CPP funding, the problem with CPP funding is very complicated, actually, and it's not benign. primarily because what it does is it forces the stations to continually reach audience levels that, you know, Pacifica for decades and decades has always had fluctuations in being able to reach its potential, you know, audience share of the signal area for whatever reason. And again, that definitely alludes to whether or not the programming serves the community or serves the listeners. I'm very concerned about Mikkel's notion of when he speaks of NPR's, the fruit of NPR stations as being very attractive to a listener. That's exactly the way it's designed. It is not really a political platform or socio-political platform. It promotes itself to be in certain areas, certain issues. Pacifica must be maintained as an oasis, which it is, for open dialogue and programming that does not necessarily fit the norms in supposed community radio, such as NPR stations. So the biggest important point I think Ziri made is that we must always only look to CPB funding as an additional source of revenue, I believe, that should be cashed away, should be held in reserve, not as a necessary component of the most basic operating levels of financial needs of all five signal areas and the foundation. This is critical. So my conclusion here, now this is a separate solution idea, which I brought up on one of the last fundraising meetings or meetings, I can't remember which. I think the mistake of Pacifica's made in all these years is that we need to now start doing all five signal area simulcast fundraising radiothons. I'm using the term radiothon to equate euphemistically with the term telethons, which used to be done on television back in the day, if you all remember. And that they would be a cultural phenomenon, but their effectiveness would only work if they were freely simulcast on five separate YouTube channels established for live streaming that do not have advertising interruptions of the feed or whatever showing on the video, if there's anything. We don't even need to have video. You know, but if we did have let's say we had a concert performance, I mean, we could get a lot of people committed to this process. We could also run five separate GoFundMes for each of the five stations at the same time as these radiothons. Now, again, just conceptually think about this. Five simulcast, that is, in real time, all five signal areas. And I'm talking about it could be done over 12 hours of a whole week's consecutive programming. So it would absolutely preempt all of the regular scheduled programming. But guess what? It would also require that all of the scheduled programmers be on the call, be on the in all five signal areas. And, you know, now it's a difficult thing to produce, believe me, I know, because it's just like producing a television show with so many different feeds. But let's face it, just so you guys know, KPFK's music studio, where the fund drive volunteers take phone calls, this is an amazing recording room. This was designed to be for this. It was designed for live music performances and other performances, spoken word performances, you know, theater, whatever.
Right, try to wrap it up.
That's why it has such a high ceiling. It has an amazing piano. I mean, this is an amazing studio, our building. And so this could be also done from any location. For example, in Los Angeles, we could have a whole series of live concerts with all kinds of performance that would do this to support our network. But again, it would have to be for the entire Pacifica network in simulcast. The YouTube channels would function in two different ways. they would promote.
John, try to wrap it up in about 30 seconds, please.
Yes. This is the key to this success of this idea, in spite of it being so difficult to produce. The YouTube channels would function as promotion of a network that most people in this country still do not even know exists. Thank you.
Kim, then Milo, and myself.
Hi. I'm going to disagree with Eric. And with you, Michael, because while irrespective of what Pacifica's bylaws might say, the state law is that no more than 50% of a finance people who also sit on the finance committee can be on the audit committee. Doesn't say none can sit on there, because look, Jadine is on the local and she's on the audit committee. So I urge you all to actually read the state regs, okay? I want to recommend to new people here that you all work to get different opinions. I'm not going to go through all the stuff I heard tonight that needs corrections, but I personally have been around for, 12 years. More than the audit committee, I've been the treasurer, and I'm very well versed in finances. I belong to no faction. I pissed everybody off because I belong to no faction and will provide no cover for any of them. I call it like I see it, but I have a lot of information, and I am open to anyone that wants, especially finance information. And I just urge people to speak to a lot of people in the beginning and try and figure out who's sort of telling a truth that you can relate to. And that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. Milo and myself, I want to welcome Jose Benavides, who's one of our new incoming staff delegates. But go ahead, Milo.
Well, I want to thank Kim and John Markowitz, and Ziri for all of your excellent contributions to this discussion. I absolutely agree that we cannot sacrifice our stated mission of being a home for dissident voices and for community voices in order to get funding from the CPB. And I certainly don't want to suggest that we sacrifice our principles in order to sell out to the CPB. If there's a way that we can, and I think it might have been you, Jonathan, who said that instead of relying on CPB funding for our day-to-day expenses, that those funds could be used as an emergency reserve. I think that's a good idea. I love your idea about a national radiothon, as it were. I think we've done similar kinds of things where we've showcased excellent programs from around the Pacifica family. And I think that it would be good to also include programming to showcase programming from our affiliates as well. So that's a wonderful fundraising idea. And I just wanted to once again thank Jonathan and Siri and Kim for your excellent contributions to this discussion. Thanks.
Thanks. So I do want to say that I'll take him at his word. James Sagerton, who is currently the chair of the National Finance Committee, thought that if we got all of our ducks in a row by May of this year, possibly by May of next year, that is to say May of 2024, May of 2023, we'd be in a position to apply for a CPB grant. I think whether we apply for the CPB money or not, we have to get all our ducks in a row. We have to have a community functioning community advisory board for our own purposes. We have to have clear and accurate financials for our own purposes. We have to rebuild our audience and our community engagement and service to the community for our own purposes. And then, if at that point, we want to seek CPB funding. We can make that decision then. But we have to do the work now to put ourselves in a position to do that, because we have to do that work. As Fred said, the main source of our funding is and will continue to be our listeners. So we have to rebuild our audience. We have to be offering relevant programming that meets community needs, and we have to be able to assess what those needs are. And so it's useful to have a CAB. It's useful to have, if we can, as I say, a network of friends of KPFK. I think it's useful to have the maximum amount of unpaid staff produced programming. One of the reasons we've gotten into the fix we're in is that we had a bloated budget, honestly. And so we were in constant fund drive mode for years, driving listeners away, because every time it turned around, there was another fund drive with the programming preempted to cover costs. So we have to figure out how to have a much leaner operation and how to engage with, you know, a whole new generation of people who are out there producing content of their own, including audiovisual content. I want to go on in the articles, if we can, just to review some of the things we need to be doing in the next several months. Article 7, Local Station Board's election of officers. This will happen on the meeting on December 15th, a week from tonight, when the new members are seated. Each local station board shall elect a chair, a vice chair, a recording secretary, and a treasurer, who shall be elected annually at the December meeting of the LSB for a term of 1 year, using the instant runoff voting method, although, yeah, instant runoff voting, because each chair, each position is only a single position. Each of these officers shall serve at the pleasure of the LSB and shall have those powers and shall perform those duties as may be prescribed by his LSB. With the exception of the chair and the vice chair, an officer of an LSB is not required to be a delegate. Local station board officers may not serve concurrently as foundation directors and must resign their position as an LSB officer if elected to the board of directors. So that's the bylaws. When we meet a week from tonight and the new delegates are seated, we will elect a new chair, a new vice chair, and both of those have to be members of the local station board, have to be delegates, but the new secretary and the new treasurer do not necessarily have to be members of the board. The secretary is a recording secretary. The treasurer sits on the National Finance Committee under the bylaws. Everybody clear on that?
I'd like to speak to that.
Okay. Eric had a hand up before. I see also Sue.
I believe my hand was up first.
Okay. I think but Eric had his hand up earlier.
But I'd be willing to
go ahead,
Eric. I can go out.
No, go ahead, Myla. Go ahead, Myla. I'll go after you.
Well, I know that early on when I brought up the fact that certain individuals' votes for certain individuals were not tallied in the release tally of the outcome of the recent local station board election. Ziri, you objected and said this is off topic and we needed to get on with the agenda. Well, I think that this particular agenda item actually is relevant to this item, because if in fact the court finds that that the tally was not conducted in a proper manner, in a legal manner, and that it was not legal for the four candidates' votes who were not tallied and who would have otherwise been elected, that our whole process is now thrown into question and the legitimacy of it is called into question. And I think that, you know, it's problematic because the people who will be voting on our representatives to the national board will not necessarily be the people who were duly elected by the listeners who voted in the last election. Thank you.
Okay, just to say the board election is not until January. So if there's some kind of
We'll be voting for officers.
Yes.
So I apologize for not being clear about that. But even so, we're going to be voting for officers and duly elected, presumably, people who may be deemed by the court to have been duly elected will not be participating in our officer elections. And we're going to have to figure out how to resolve that. Now, Jonathan Markowitz is probably one of the people on this call who kind of is a bylaws wonk. And I don't know if there's anything explicit in the bylaws to address this situation. But I think we're sort of in uncharted territory, and it's pretty murky, and it's a sad situation.
Okay. So then Eric and Sue Cohn-Johnson?
Kim to the stack, please.
Okay. After Sue.
No,
I'm sorry, Eric and then Sue.
So one of the ironies here is that each of the candidates Milo speaks of was running for this body, the LSB, on an explicit platform of disempowering the LSB and turning it into a functional equivalent of a cab with no actual powers. So they were seeking an office that to be elected to an office that they wish to abolish. Now, that's one thing. And where they got in trouble was that they sent a mailer to the membership that concluded an appeal for funding to the New Day organization. And they were explicitly directed to do a corrective mailing, which they didn't do. And the penalty that was imposed during the LSB election was by, as I understand it, the attorney of Pacifica's corporate counsel, I guess you could call him, or organizational counsel, Arthur Schwartz, to disqualify these candidates for noncompliance with his and or the election supervisor Renee's direct order to do a corrective mailing.
The so candidates did not send the mailer. The mailer was sent by New Day Pacifica, and the mailer endorsed certain candidates. The candidates themselves did not send the mailer.
Actually, but, if you want to get in the weeds, Myla, the request for the mailing list was made by one of the candidates.
But not all of the candidates. And some of the candidates were given special dispensation. Some of the candidates that were endorsed on the mailer were given special dispensation that included Oye Ipo and I believe and Christina Avalos. And so it's not that clear cut. And I think that it's important that we try to present information in a factual way, if possible.
I have no disagreement with that. This has all been highly partisan and in certain respects, I think antithetical to the purpose of this meeting. I agree with Ziri in that regard. But anyway, I wanted to segue, Michael, for another 30 seconds into one point I've been wanting to make all along tonight, which is quite important for the new members, those who might still be on the call or might listen to this before the vote of the LSB in January for their representatives, the new LSB, for their representatives to the PNB, to do so with great care, because the LSB is the feeder institution to the PNB, and the four delegates that we select are joined with the delegates from the other stations to form the Pacifica National Board, and they do have a relatively plenary power over the organization as a whole, the foundation. So therefore, I urge the new members to consult, as others have said, widely before that vote and to do so with great care. The ability of the PNB to continue its slow and steady work to dig out some terrible mistakes that were made that put us in a financial great financial difficulty, which we are digging out of slowly but surely. I'm confident that progress needs to continue. And if we elect the wrong people to the PNB, it could damage that effort. And so although it's unfortunate to have to think in terms of coalitions and so-called factions, careful thought has to be given. Because as it demonstrated on this call, there are those who want to completely abolish the role of the members of the Pacifica Foundation in constituting the PNB. They don't want to have the LSBs function anymore as feeder institutions to the PNB. And if we elect the wrong people to the PNB, they will continue to try again and again to make mischief. Instead of getting about the business of strengthening Pacifica Foundation, they will attempt to take it over. And that's what New Day has been all about. So I just wanted to ask people to vote carefully for the PNB when they're on in at the beginning of their tenures. Thank you.
Okay, Sue, and then Kim.
Hey, thank you, Eric. I used to think that KPFK was not for everyone, but then I thought, well, I can't get the good stuff that I can, good radio drama that I can hear on other stations. But then I thought, Minsky said that everyone left of center should be listening to KPFK. Well, but a constant drive to increase our listenership. Mission be damned is wrong for us. And I forgot what else. Thank you.
Okay, Kim?
Like I said earlier, I hope people will reach out and speak to people outside of their own little faction. And I do want to mention another committee, which has previously been, not active, but which should, which is the Elections Committee. And part of this problem with these elections is there was no really active committee for, 5 years. So there's that. And also I want to say that neither the elections or the Programming Oversight Committee and a couple of others are not in the bylaws. They're not standing committees. And the Program Oversight Committee has no real mandate. I mean, they're just sort of doing what they want to do, sort of like a big chit-chat. And I think that this new LSB could really come up with a plan for that committee to do something. And one of the things I might suggest is to actually look at fund drive programming. I remember my first year on the LSB, towards the end of the first year, when I finally sort of realized I was in an alternate universe and I just had to go with it. And, the then interim program director came to the LSB to brag about all his new programming that he was going to put on. And I said to him, and what are you going to do about fund drive programming? And he looked into the mid-distance like a deer caught in headlights. He said nothing. And for the extent of his tenure, he did nothing except for what do you got, Christine? And she just sort of, continued to have no oversight of what programs she put on. And there have been a lot of issues with that. And so I'm just suggesting that the program oversight and other non-standing committees could review what their mandate is going forward. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks. So I do want to look at a few more things in the bylaws. because I think one of the problems that we have had, and the reason there have been so many attacks on the bylaws, is that we do not actually fulfill them, and that's very problematic. So the next article is Local Station Board Section 6, Meetings. Each LSB shall meet as often as required to accomplish its duties, but not less than every other month. So we have here met at least monthly, and sometimes we've had some special meetings. KPFA, whatever reason, wants to keep meetings to a minimum and public comment to a minimum. They only meet six times a year. The consequence of that is that when there was a motion passed by the PNB to have LSB reports to the listeners, the mandate was only also for every other month because KPFA only meets every other month. So we do now have, we have had some on-air LSB reports to the listeners, but since the mandate is every other month, the next one will be in January, something to think about for the local station board that's seated in December to plan that out better, to try to have a variety of people on the board. I tried to put together a program of having one director, one officer, at least one staff delegate, one listener delegate. It didn't work out very well in the first two or three times we did it, but I'm hopeful we can regularize that. Time and place. The LSB shall establish by majority vote the time and place of each meeting, provided that no meeting shall occur sooner than 10 days from the date of the vote scheduling said meeting without the unanimous agreement of all the LSB officers that a shorter period is required to address urgent matters. And in the event of less than 10 days notice, notice will be given by telephone message to all LSB members at least 24 hours before the meeting. There shall be a meeting of the LSB in December each year to seat newly elected delegates and to elect LSB officers, and in early January to elect directors. Meetings shall be held within the local radio station area and facilities of sufficient size to accommodate members affiliated with that radio station and the public, preferably in the station. Now, we haven't been doing that because of COVID. You might want to consider at some point in the future having in-person meetings again. The board has so far refused to do that. We did sign this year authorization for electronic communications and authorization for telephonic or digital meetings. And the new members will have to sign the same documents to continue to meet by Zoom as we have been. But again, we have to decide in December what the schedule of meetings for the year is. As we have historically done, is set a regular business meeting once a month. And people need to think about, there have been objections to meeting on Wednesday at 6, which is the last couple of meetings. But the general manager, who has religious obligations on Sunday morning, asked that we accommodate him in terms of not having our meetings at Sunday at 10:30. So that's got to be determined in December. Members and public participation. LSB meetings shall be open to the public and to all members, with the exception of those meetings dedicated to or predominantly regarding personnel, proprietary information, litigation, and other matters requiring confidential advice or counsel involving commercial or financial information obtained on a privileged or confidential basis or relating to a purchase of property or the use of use or engagement of services whenever the premature exposure of said purchase or sale in the LSB's sole opinion may compromise the legitimate business interests of said radio station or the foundation. In the event that all or a portion of the meeting is closed, the LSB shall indicate in its notice of said meeting that the meeting or a part of it shall be closed. In addition, within a reasonable period after the closed meeting, the LSB secretary shall post on the station's website a general statement on the basis on which all or part of said meeting was closed. Each meeting shall include a public comment period of not less than 30 minutes. No person shall be required as a condition for attendance at any public meeting or public or to publicly comment to register his or her name or to provide any other information. So we do have 30 minutes of public comment at every LSB meeting. And generally speaking, recently, my suggestion, we've divided that into periods of about 7.5 to 10 minutes at a time, related to business items on the agenda. The public is not restricted to dealing with that item, but it gives them an opportunity to comment before we vote or before we hold elections. D is notice, and listen to this. The public and all members shall be notified of each LSB meeting four on-air announcements made during prime time on the radio station on four different days, beginning whenever feasible, at least 7 days prior to the date of each meeting, shall be considered adequate notice. In the event of LSB meetings convened on short notice for urgent business, all reasonable efforts shall be made to broadcast notice of the meeting at least three times during prime time for 2 days prior to the meeting. Whenever feasible, notice shall be posted on the station's website at least 7 days prior to the date of each meeting. So the last requirement I've been meeting by, I did get access to the website, and on the LSB P&B page, I have been putting notice. And of course, there's kpfdx.org, which notices all the meeting. But the broadcast, I think, is not something that's been happening. And we couldn't even get broadcasts of candidate carts or, you know, for the election. Record keeping and rulemaking. Meetings and actions of the LSB shall be governed by the provisions of these bylaws. A book of minutes of all meetings and actions of the LSB shall be kept and shall be filed with the records of the LSB, which book shall include the time and place of each meeting, the notice given, how authorized, any waivers or consents, the names of those present, and a summary of the proceedings. Minutes of closed meetings shall be maintained, but sealed as confidential. A copy of all minutes and actions of the LSB shall also be forwarded to the Foundation Secretary for Maintenance pursuant to Section 1A of Article 12 of these bylaws. Each LSB may adopt additional rules for the governance of its LSB, so long as the rules are not inconsistent with these bylaws. So again, a lot of this stuff has been honored in the breach, and we have to do a much better job of notice, of minutes, of everything else that's involved. Again, whether we are interested in qualifying for the CPB or not, we have to fulfill those requirements of our bylaws and of the law. Section 7 is quorum and approval. A quorum at any meeting of an LSB shall be a majority of the then currently serving LSB members, not including the station manager. So that basically means 13 unless there's some vacancy. Associate station representatives should not be counted for purposes of establishing a quorum on matters for which they are not entitled to vote. If after a quorum has been established at a meeting of the LSB, some of the LSB members leave the meeting and there is no longer a quorum present, those LSB members remaining may continue to take action so long as a resolution receives at least that number of affirmative votes as would constitute a majority of a quorum. For example, if the quorum is 13 LSB members and the majority of a quorum is 7, then so long as 7 LSB members remain present and vote in the affirmative, the resolution shall be adopted. Except as otherwise expressly provided in these bylaws, the approval of a majority of the LSB members present and voting shall be required for any action of said LSB. In the event of the vote and any motion results in a tie, the motion shall not pass. This is amended to add the following paragraph. In the event the quorum is not achieved, roll shall be taken to establish quorum or lack thereof, and minutes shall be produced to reflect the roll call vote. Those present may also schedule the next meeting. Any questions about that?
Jonathan on the stack.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
I have my hand up, Bella.
Okay, I don't see it, Bella, but so I have John, Kim, and then Bella.
I'll let Bella go with her questions or comments first. Thank you.
Okay, your hand's up now. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes. So the summary here seems to be that, of course, we have a very solid bylaws, set of bylaws, for good or ill, but they are violated. We also have a mission statement, also violated. And if we had a radio station that would comply with both of these areas, we would not have any problems. We would have no issues. We would be dancing with money. we would be happy. We would be representing the Signal area. So I implore everyone that is coming on board to collaborate collectively with the good intent to do the very best for Pacifica, because whatever else you've heard, we are a network and we are a family, regardless. And we have got to get back to that motto, that we are a network family and we have to pull for each other and help each other and set models and examples for one another. No one is an island. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I had Kim and then John. I don't remember what the order was.
I was next.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Okay. The subject matter basically was regarding the requirements of, you know, board process to the listenership, to the members. So I just wanted to point out that going back months now, and if you go to kpftx.org's archive of the previous meetings from yesterday and back, I have not scrolled all the way back through 2020 yet, but or even most of 2021. But I would say going back at least 4 or 5 months now, I would say, forgive me if I'm wrong about the percentage, I would say at least 70 to 75, if not more, percent of all of the meetings were either not streamed, or if they were streamed, the recordings have still not been archived, that is still not posted. I'm talking about any and all, most of the board meetings around all five Signal areas. That includes committee meetings and also the national board meetings. Now, WPFW has been the worst in this regard. Nearly every meeting over the last 4 months is the, now, please forgive me if I've got this time frame wrong, but this is actually at the core of our problem, in terms of accountable process under our bylaws, because along with the lack of posted recordings of these meetings, there's also a lack of access to the minutes of a lot of these meetings, or at least what I think should be is that in this archive there should also be links to minutes that have been prepared and then posted or added to the archive of each meeting date, which should include also the recording. Some of the meetings are executive session. Of course, those are not posted for appropriate reason, but I believe there should be a body at Pacifica that reviews the legitimacy of the claim for executive session or the need for it. A lot of times, obviously, personnel issues or anything to do that's being contested legally would fall under such a categorization, therefore obscure to accept those on the national board who have a need to know, and possibly local board members have a need to know, legal right to know or need to know. So, but in terms of the business of the national board and all five Signal boards, look, I understand Otis is, you know, he's a senior person. I've heard that he's not doing the best health-wise. Forgive me, Otis, if I'm revealing something that's, it's been told to me he's overwhelmed with the tasks of having to manage this archive and keep up with it. I think that it's of the utmost importance that the National Board and all five Signal areas solve this impasse immediately and make sure that all of Pacifica's meetings recordings be immediately archived, that is posted, regardless of their sources, whether they be Maestro calls, somebody's recordings, Zoom calls, etc. Because you know, unless all five single area boards and all five single area national board members, directors, are aware of what's going on these meetings, and if they're not able to attend those meetings, which is pretty much everybody at one time or another, if not regularly for some members, because they have businesses they have to attend to during 9 to 5 hours, or they're working, you know, a 9 to 5 job, or whatever. This is the price of having a system that should be accountable, is that it can be unwieldy. And I have my own ideas of how possibly to make this a much more effective system, but yet retain its democratic structure. But without question, unless these boards' recordings are posted, and every meeting should be live streamed. Every meeting should be live streamed and posted, I believe, within 48 hours and no more.
Okay, thank you. Sure, Otis. You're getting some positive comments in the chat about this.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sure
just,
Otis.
Just to let you know, I have raised this. I had a conversation earlier this evening about the need.
Okay, well, let me just finish my point. Okay. Let me just finish. Yeah. I'm sorry I go on and on here, but this is at the crux. This is the crux of the entire problem we're having. Not setting aside the issue of each signal area's management and staff running a protectorate out of sight, out of harm's way from their perspective of any board accountability as to what's going on at the stations. How we solve that is going to take, a concerted, accountable ideas.
Okay, you said you were going to wrap it up, Johnson, so please try to.
Thank you. That's pretty much it. We need to get all of these meetings streamed, recorded, posted, and minutes posted, and they shouldn't just be buried somewhere on some obscure menu choice on the national site.
So as I was saying, I was had a conversation earlier this evening about getting more people available to getting more people available to stream the calls, and more people available to, if we're using Maestro Conference to run the Maestro switchboard, so it's not left to just two or three people, because that's overwhelming them. So we are trying to work on that, and we'll be looking for, some volunteers or getting people trained to set up and get the necessary software involved in doing the streaming so we can get more of them streamed. I see Eric and Sue have their hands up. Eric and
Kim was next, Michael.
Okay, I'm sorry, Kim. That's right. Go ahead, Kim, and then Eric, then Sue, and then myself about something
else. Okay. One other thing, I would urge all new members to get the latest Robert's Rules of Order book and review it. I would especially hope that you learn what point of order and request for information are. They are used often. They are about procedure. They are not an opportunity to jump the stack, which they are often used for. Please learn the difference. And one other little thing about this programming oversight, and I just want to uphold my reputation for pissing everybody off about this, that they actually do oversight. And one of the things I would like to see very much overseen, and perhaps have all the members of that committee pick programs to monitor, is Plugola all over the station. And I would also urge the new members to review the FCC regs. They're not that complicated. They're not that long. But, it's something that a GM isn't always, it's his responsibility. His or her responsibility, but that doesn't always happen. So, thank you.
Eric, Sue, and then myself.
I just wanted to point out that as far as I know, in response to Jonathan's comment about the difficulties with the posting of meetings, timely. I have noticed as well that there are some too long intervals between the time of date of the meeting and the time they get posted, but they're not that inordinately long for the big meetings. For example, I just wanted to catch up on the December 2nd PNB meeting, and I did so in the last couple of days. So that was December 2nd, and it's, you know, not that long ago. So Otis is I think pretty diligent about the main meetings, the PNB particularly, and also the LSB meetings. I can only speak to KPFK's meetings, which do show up in the archives pretty timely, maybe as long as a 4 or 5 day interval, but then they show up. And they're all obviously streamed in real time. So I can't speak as much to the subcommittee meetings. I'm on the governance committee, KPFK governance committee. Occasionally I'll listen to the recording afterwards. My recollection is that, again, with those, there's not been that long an interval. Sometimes as long as a week, maybe rarely longer, but they do show up. So it could be that some of these other committees, there's less of a good record there. I can't speak to it, but generally from what I know from my own experience, Jonathan is not entirely correct there in his point that there is a great a shortfall going on. Because, and one of the reasons I'm mentioning it, and I asked for a stack to mention it, is because we have a responsibility to be transparent. And to the extent that it's taken seriously that we're not, then we could find ourselves having difficulty with the criteria for CPB funding and the like, putting aside the merits of that type of funding. We should be transparent. It's part of their requirements that we be. So I wanted to speak up and correct the record there. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
Regarding, can you hear me? Regarding working together, and who is our audience, and speaking to our audience, and fishing where the fish are to make money. In the short term, I don't know if it'll make much money or not, but the people who are to the right of us, but left of center maybe, and farm agricultural people and all of those people elected Trump. And workers of the world unite. I'm not a communist, but workers got to get together. We got to stop sneering down at the workers and the poor, not so educated people, and get them in a coalition with us. And that'll enhance the numbers of our audience. And if you want to plug, if you're a programmer and you want to plug your whatever, you can. There's ways to do it. If you do it right and you don't let them plug themselves, you say, if you were interested in the show you just heard, then you might also be interested in so-and-so, and here's the contact information, and thank you, and that's all.
Okay, thanks. The reason I read the thing about the notice of meetings being aired on the radio is that it speaks to the second problem that Jonathan pointed out towards the end of his remarks. And just to be frank with incoming LSB members, I see your hand, Lawrence. I'm sorry, I'll get to you in a second. The fact is that there is a resistance to the model that we actually have, which is elected democratic governance of the Pacifica Foundation and the stations. And there is resistance to that from the management and the staff, particularly the paid staff, because the management and the paid staff think of it as their operation. And so we just need to be frank about that that's a major cultural problem in Pacifica. The management does not want to air candidate statements, does not want to air information about the election, does not want to air announcements of meetings, because they don't think it's good radio. And we have to find a way to overcome that resistance. And, you know, it's a constant struggle, just to be frank with you about it. And we have to find ways to take that struggle on tactfully and in a positive spirit of what doing that would contribute to the success of the station. I see Sue saying that's not the reason. I don't know. I don't want to get into what the reason is, but whatever the reason is, that's the reality, is that there's resistance to that. So I think that another reason is resistance to governance has to do with the fact that we are constantly bickering with each other. And I've seen it happen over and over again. We have to do better. We have to have a concentrated sense of what we can contribute to the station. So that's what I've tried to do as chair this past year. And, for example, trying to promote the idea that the LSB would put forward a matching fund for the fund drives. It's not the final solution, but it's just a piece. We did have some strategic planning meetings with the interim general manager and Stuart and a couple of other people from the staff, and they it was like the first time they had any idea that the LSB had anything positive to contribute in their minds. So, you know, I just think we have to keep that in mind in terms of we're here to solve some of these problems, not to create problems. And we're here to help the station engage with the community and with the solutions that people are putting forward. Lawrence, you had your hand up, and then Bella. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I'd like to say good evening and welcome the new board members tonight. My name is Lawrence Reyes, as you see on my picture. I was in a union meeting, and we are about to go into negotiations again. So that's one of the things that I think, as a board member, I understand that, you know, some people are have an aversion to saying that board members should bring in money. I'm a firm believer that that, you know, if you could bring in money, bring it, right? But on the other hand, I also believe that bringing in resources is also very important, right? And one of the things that I've been collaborating with Michael and others on the board here is putting out a call to unions, right? Because we have over 200,000 union members just in LA County, not to mention over 400-something thousand throughout the state of California. And Southern California has a bunch as well. So I'm talking about San Diego, Riverside, San Bernardino, all of that. There are a lot of union members that that I'm part of. So we have had success in the past in my local, which is SEIU 721, bringing in a substantial donation to Margaret Prescott's show. Me and Michael and others, we have put together an appeal letter to labor. To organize labor. And one of the things that that we are about to do is to send that appeal letter out because, you know, I'm a firm believer that we have to throw the kitchen sink at what we're going through right now, right? So we have to put all hands on deck and put everything that's possible that's constructive and does not compromise our mission on the table, right? So I just wanted to join you tonight and welcome you. I'd like to welcome Siri. I can't pronounce the other individual's name, but Rob Macon and others that got elected. And I look forward to working with you and looking for common ground to move our station forward. Thank you.
Thanks. I see Bella and John Markowitz.
Yes, I wanted to remind you, Michael, that I was the one who spoke about the fact that there has been a resistance for a number of years at KPFK. Against LSB governance issues, not John Markowitz. And I wanted to also agree.
I was the one who just said it. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
I also want to agree with Sue Cohen Johnson. She made a post earlier on the chat regarding that, I can't remember. But her post was poignant because, when we do community outreach, right, it's about educating the community that we are here, that we are a station that want to represent their needs in the community. And this is, of course, going back to why we need the CAB, why we need the Community of Inclusion, the Committee of Inclusion at every station, which has nothing to do, of course, with CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I want us to stray away from CPB funding. I want us to concentrate on earning the trust of our audience. And by that, I mean recreating and rethinking our program grid. I put a program grid together and I sent it to the general manager. This was a few months ago, well, at least 2 months ago. Nothing has been adopted from it. And what I did was I took the great programming that we have in obscure time slots, like early Monday morning, early Saturday morning, and early Sunday morning, and I brought them into the sunshine. And then I brought back bibliography. I brought back many programs that were great, at KPFK once upon a time, that were bringing in the membership. This is what we need to be looking at. Our program grid is our product. So programming is our product, is where our focus needs to be. And if we continue not paying attention to the fact that we need our local programming and our local news, then we might as well just sign it off, right? Because we are not getting anywhere. And some people want to just keep rehashing the same stuff all over again. No, we need a revival. And we need to revive our programming grid to represent the different flavors of our communities. That's where we need to be focusing on. Once we do that, I assure you, we are going to shift away from the funk, the financial funk we have been in. And I'm repeating and repeating myself.
That's right. So stop. Thanks. John is up. It's 9:15. I'd like to try to wrap this up. There's a little bit more to deal with from the bylaws. Go ahead, John.
Okay, in response to Eric's response to my previous comment, yes, KPFK's meetings have, by and large, way more than the other four signal areas, have been posted, recordings, and streamed, as well as call-in numbers. Lawrence's Pacifica Elections Committee, Pacifica National Board Elections Committee, of course, was opened up to listeners to call in. Those have been posted, of course, but if you go to the archive page, go through 2021, you will see a huge, huge percentage of non-posted, non-streamed, non-archived, some even listed as not recorded, especially WPFW. And virtually for the last 4 months, all of WPFW's meetings have not been posted, nor were they live streamed. And a lot of them were posted as not recorded. Now, I don't believe they have not been recorded, personally. I believe somebody is recording them. And again, there's no standardization of this. There's no there are no staff that are that can facilitate all of the meetings. And yes, we have an overwhelming number of meetings. And it's impossible to attend them all. If it was my druthers, every single board meeting should be heard in real time by all of the five signal boards and all of the national board members. Every meeting, all five signalers, I mean, because that's the only way to have accountability is if people are literally knowing what's going on as close to real time as possible, or at least listening to the, but of course, nobody has enough time to do that. Only people that are tired and et cetera. So I just want to point out, everybody here, go to the archive page and scroll backwards in time, and you will see that I am correct. And Eric, I don't know if you've done that yet, but you will see that I am. Thank you.
So just to be clear, he's talking about kpftx.org, which is the repository for all governance meetings, and there is a, you know, you click on the meetings and all meetings, you can go back in time, reverse that chronological order, goes through December 9th.
You have to click on the archive. Click on the archive menu.
Okay. So a little bit more on the bylaws. Article 7, Local Station Board, Section 9, proxies not permitted. All actions taken by LSB members shall be taken personally. The powers of delegates and associate station representatives may not be exercised by alternates, by proxy, or the like. We have had some back and forth and chatter about who's at a meeting now that we have electronic meetings. We have certain things must be allowed everybody to vote for. So, for example, when we vote for the bylaws amendments, which will be not necessarily the new members, but all the delegates currently, it must be an absolute majority of the entire LSB to vote in favor of an amendment. It's not just a majority of who's present and voting, because our meetings are not physical meetings currently. We have allowed members to vote, but it's got to be done at each meeting, and there has to be a authorizing motion that determines what exactly is going to happen. So that's something to keep in mind. Last point on the powers of the local station boards, advisory committees. The LSB may, by resolution, designate one or more advisory committees to serve at the pleasure, direction, and supervision of the LSB. Any such advisory committee shall include at least two LSB members. Members affiliated with that radio station shall be eligible for appointment to a committee. Station advisory committees shall not be considered agents of the foundation or the radio station and shall not have the authority to bind the foundation or the radio station with which it is affiliated. The protocol that we are currently operating under is that any member of KPFK in good standing can join a committee with no limit on the number of people who join the committee, beyond the fact that the committee cannot have more than as much as a quorum of the LSB. So the maximum number of LSB members in a committee is 12. But we do have some committees that have up to 20 members. And my feeling is when we're getting that high, which is almost at the maximum of Maestro, and particularly for the Finance Committee, I think we should consider having the meeting with Zoom so that if we have financial documents, everybody can look at them with a screen share. Meetings and actions of local station advisory committees shall be governed by the provisions of Section 6 of this article of the bylaws, with such changes as are necessary in said provisions to substitute the committees and its members of the LSB and its members, except that the time of regular meetings of committees may be determined by resolution of the LSB as well as a vote of the committee, and that the committees shall not be required to meet in December or January unless they otherwise agree or the LSB resolves that it should do so, and provided that notice of committee meetings shall be deemed adequate if announced at LSB meetings and, when feasible, posted on the station's webpage. Special meetings of committees may also be called by resolution of the LSB or the committee. The LSB may adopt additional rules for government of any committee that are not inconsistent with the provisions of these bylaws. So basically, the committees set their agendas and timetables, carrying out some of the duties and powers we talked about. But the LSB itself can designate the time and place of a committee meeting. The general duty of the advisory committee shall be to advise the LSB on the issues for which the committee was created. Advisory committees shall have only those duties and powers set forth by the resolution of the LSB. which powers shall not include the power to, one, approve any action which under the California Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporation Law, these bylaws requires the approval of the members, directors, the LSB, or the delegates, two, fill vacancies on the board, LSB, or any committee, three, amend or repeal these bylaws or adopt new bylaws, amend or repeal any resolution of the board creating any other committees of the board or LSB, or approve or execute any contract or transaction, or incur any indebtedness, borrow money on behalf of the foundation or LSB. So again, the committees we've been talking about tonight, the Programming Oversight Committee of the LSB, the Finance Committee of the LSB, the Fundraising Committee of the LSB, the Governance Committee of the LSB, the Program Oversight Committee of the LSB. Sorry, those are all committees of our local station board, advisory to the board to fulfill the powers and duties that we just discussed. The PNB committees are set up by the PNB. There are a few standing PNB committees, and some that are not. There's a National Programming Committee, National Elections Committee, National Finance Committee, which has a restricted membership. The National Finance Committee is the treasurer of each of the five stations and one director from each of the five stations named by the PNB itself. The other committees we talked about, we get to elect people from the local station board to the audit committee, to the governance committee, to the election committee. Any others? To the programming committee. Lawrence, and then there are also task forces. So there's a national programming task force. I'm sorry, national development task force, which a number of us are on from KPFK. The difference between a committee and a task force, as far as I'm aware of, is that task forces of PNB can include non-LSB members. So, for example, Steve Kaiser, who's not on the LSB any longer, serves on the national development task force. There's a affiliates task force, which includes people from the various affiliates, obviously, and then people from some of the stations. You don't have to be a member of the LSB to be on it. You're not elected by the LSB. You just volunteer. John, you have your hand up again, or did you just not lower it?
I'm going to start.
Okay, Kim, go ahead.
I just want to point out that the revised committee rules that were that a lot of time was spent on has no effect because there are no approved minutes for the last 2 years. And I would urge new members when people say, oh, a motion was passed, to ask to see those approved minutes. Because, like I said, nothing happened for the last 2 years because there have been no approved minutes. And I just want to also just say the affiliates task force hasn't met in several years. So that's not happening. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I think there should be an affiliates task force, and we should try to get it to meet. I think, for example, the COVID Race and Democracy Show, which came out of the COVID task force, has incorporated content from the affiliates, and it's, made for a good program and strengthened the cohesion maybe of the network as a whole. So that's something to look forward to. From the fundraising task force, I did actually communicate with Ursula at Rudenberg, who is, works in the affiliates unit of Pacifica nationally, and she is soliciting input from some of the stations and invited us to participate. I think it's on the Wednesday the 12th. I'm not sure the date. I sent it around, but they're having a kind of a webinar on best practices for development, and I think there are things we can learn from our affiliates that we can probably apply effectively. In any case, the task forces are not meant to be private either. The obstacle is somewhat overwhelming burden since COVID on Otis in particular. As I mentioned earlier, we're looking to get additional volunteers for streaming because it is, it requires some software and the ability to, get the notification and be on the call and put it on the stream. So we're working on that. And if people are interested in performing that function, let me know, let Fred Blair know, and we'll get together with Otis and get some more people involved in doing that so that more meetings can be streamed.
Kim to the stack. I would just like to add a little humor here. Years ago, my first 2 years on this LSB, I was on the affiliates task force. And at one point, we were talking to Ursula about, premiums that the affiliates had. And a lot of those stations are very small, and they are very rural. And Ursula told us that one of the most popular premiums on some of those rural stations was a truckload of manure. And I just thought that was funny, considering that all our stations are in big metropolitan areas. And it was just, an insight into what the heartland is doing. So that's it. Just a little levity there.
I'm seeing some long thing in the chat from Grace Aaron. LSB responsibility to post recording LSB minutes.
Okay. Simi has a hand up, and then I'll do Michael.
Okay. I don't know if Grace wants to read what she put in the chat. Go ahead, Ziri.
Thank you so much. It refers a little bit to what you just were saying, Michael, about task forces not having to be they have to be recorded and also posted. When we were on the development task force, I remember specifically Grace and Beth saying that they didn't need to be posted because they would not constitute meetings because there's no quorum needed and there's no official form. Could you please clarify what's actually true?
That's accurate, Terry. A task force is not a committee. A committee does have some of the rules that we went through of designated members, a quorum required, minutes required, and audio record and proper notice. A task force is basically a looser vehicle to discuss. Anybody can join it. There is no quorum requirement. There is no requirement for an audio record or minutes, and it cannot deliberate, and it cannot make motions. It can make suggestions. That is the difference. I mean, if the committee wants to stream it or make an archive of it and put it up on KPFTX, I don't know that there's a rule that you can't do that, but to burden our paid staff to do that, they're not required to do it and they're not going to do it. And we shouldn't ask them to do stuff because they're overwhelmed with stuff that they already have to do.
May I answer this? I have a question right following this. I'm sorry,
okay.
But could you, Kim, please explain to me then? So I have the feeling that in the actual, for example, it's just an example. At the Finance Committee, a lot of things are not discussed that were discussed at this task force. And it was even brought up that the task force is more effective because at the Finance Committee, there's too many people and too much chaos. And so it seemed that if the task force was a tool to circumvent the Finance Committee and actually make stuff happen in the background. And if they are really having so many important people on the task force, wouldn't it be then also important to have the task force information made available to everybody in the interest of transparency?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. I wasn't on that particular meeting where that was said, but that's pretty wacky that somebody said that, and that was a goal of that task committee, because that's completely inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a new LSB, soon, and, things will be different this coming year because you have a different mix of people.
Thank you.
Michael,
can I be?
Okay,
can
sure. I, go ahead, Lawrence.
I think everything that we do in Pacifica, whether it's a task force, there's no prohibition in the bylaws. There's no prohibition anywhere that says that task forces cannot report out, post a notice of a meeting. It needs to be, and it doesn't say it cannot, it doesn't, it's not supposed to be streamed. And it doesn't say it cannot post the processes that are happening at that meeting. And, you know, the way to get around having Otis do everything is by asking for privileges, posting privileges. So, so that's one way of being able to put stuff in the archives, right? So I just think that there's no prohibition. I just want to agree with Siri. There's no prohibition, and it should be in the public. It should be, I think, as the best practice, it should be posted, and it should be transparent and public, and it shouldn't do the work that another committee is tasked to do. It should enhance that work, right? I mean, a task force, the word in itself, it's task oriented, right? You get a task, you do the task, and then you provide it to the committee that tasked you with that task, right? So that's a very important thing, because I think where a lot of mistrust grows, Siri, is when those things, the best practices, are not taken into account, and where it seems that someone is being kind of sneaky and kind of keeping people at bay and not being able. In regards to the affiliates task force, what I've been told, because I as a director on the PNB, I've requested that affiliates task force meet. Now this was what I was told. The affiliates now have an association, right? They have become a unit. They have an association, right? And they meet, I think, monthly, once a month, as an association, the association affiliates. And so they feel that they don't have, I haven't heard a concrete report from any of the affiliate directors in regards to what is going on in the affiliates, right? So I have a concern about that. So that's something that needs to. We're hoping that if they're meeting as an association or some kind of independent committee, then they should provide monthly reports to the PNB, because they are sitting on the director's trusted position, and they should provide information. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
So as I said earlier, I did communicate with Ursula. She is sending an invitation to a few of us. I'd be happy to share with anybody who wants to this session that they're having regarding development and fundraising. I do think that there's a difference between a local or a national finance committee and a fundraising or development committee. And, programming committee. One of the reasons to review all this stuff was so the committees can understand what their sort of frame of reference is, what their responsibilities are, and we avoid overlap and duplication of effort. And so I think that I don't think it's necessarily avoiding the finance committee to have a development task force. At a motion here locally, we did create an LSB development task force or a KPFK development task force some years ago. The last time I was in LSB, didn't get very far because the general manager just wanted to kind of cherry pick and not work with a body of people. He just wanted to pick people from it to work on particular projects he was interested in. But I think that objectively speaking, the idea of a task force that can look at, off-air fundraising and make some recommendations. Again, they're not going to enact anything. This has got to go to the local station board or to the Pacifica National Board. But for example, again, the COVID task force, which was created by the national board, created some motions and some proposals, and they were enacted then by the PNB, and we have the show. As a consequence of that, there were some other policies that were put forward about dealing with COVID at the stations. And
Michael, that was, if you could give credit where the credit is due, that was my motion.
Yes, that was Lawrence's motion, absolutely. And, a bunch of us worked on it. Go ahead, Grace. Grace Aaron, you have to unmute.
Yeah, thanks for the discussion. We have to get from the what to the how. So it's not going to be workable for committees of like 20 people or 40 people having plans and giving the plans to one paid staff person. We have to, I guess, transition from a staff board situation where there are not very many volunteers to a more of a volunteer organization where the volunteers are actually doing staff work to some degree. Now that has happened on the national level, but when we're talking about transparency, it used to be Fred Blair shared with Bill Crozier. Bill Crozier was one of the main architects of the New Day bylaws. But before that, he streamed a lot of meetings along with Fred and Otis. Now, to my knowledge, there's only Otis and Fred, and Paulina Basilia sometimes does it. But we need other people who are trusted individuals who can stream the meetings. We need people who have technical expertise, not just, we need the actual volunteers who can do the how, not just the what. So if you want transparency, get together some volunteers who are willing to. We need secretaries for these committees. We need people to do the streaming. We need people to run the Zoom meetings. We need people to post the audio. We need people who will step up to the plate and do these tasks, not just for KPFK, but for other stations. So we need to not just decide what needs to be done, but figure out how it can get done and who is going to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't ask one staff member who's underpaid and has 20 jobs already that they're doing to also do 10 more things, some of them not well conceived. So, let's figure out how, and that can be done, but not just demanding something when there is no money for it and no personnel time or no personnel to do it. Some people have to step up to the plate. I also would like to say there are some people on the call who we haven't heard from at all, and I'd like to ask their opinion. We've got Ralph Hawkins, who is still here, Rob Macon. I think we have Jose Benefiti still here? I'm not sure, but Ralph is still here. Rob Macon is still here, and I think that's it.
Paul and Yusa three.
Okay, but can Ralph and Rob weigh in on some of this, just so we know what your views are? I guess not.
They're both muted. I don't know if they have to unmute. I'll see if I can ask them to unmute.
Okay. Well, I'm interested in your views. By the way, I put in the chat the protocol for streaming meetings that was passed by the PNB, posting and streaming meetings. If anybody wants to have task forces noticed and streamed and all of that, it's possible. That would have to be decided on by the national board, in my opinion. They have to go through the local board for approval and the national board. But it's not going to go anywhere if there are no resources for it. You can't just task a staff member who's overworked as it is, to do things that are impossible for one person to do. That's all.
Yeah, thank you. I, as I said earlier in the call, I did have a conversation with Fred about the streaming, and definitely interested in trying to find some volunteers here, certainly, and maybe I could take some initiative to try to get them around the network who can do it. It does involve some technical expertise, but not too much. You have to have the right software and the right hardware that can use the software that they're accustomed to. So if you're interested, let me know, and I'll talk to Fred, I'll talk to Otis or whoever to try to make that happen. I do think we do, as you said, we need more people to do it. Same thing is true for chairing meetings, people who are, you know, feel that they have some expertise in facilitating a meeting towards, you know, some achieving its goals, people who, you know, feel comfortable taking notes and producing minutes in a timely fashion. We need you. Very, very clear. All right, so it's almost 9:15. We've been on the call for over 2 hours, I think, or 3 hours, actually, right? We started at 6, so why don't we call it a night? And thank you all, and I hope there was some benefit in terms of the actual orientation for the incoming members, or at least a little chance to get to know each other informally. And thanks a lot.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Michael. Let us save the chat before you...
Yeah, I saved it, but go ahead.
Okay.
To repeat again, the December official business meeting of the LSB is a week from tonight, 6 p.m. That's when people will be seated and will do the officer elections. But on the 12th, which is Sunday, 10:30 a.m., there will be a meeting of the delegates assembly of the existing delegates, not the new ones, that have to vote on 4 bylaws amendments that are being considered by the Pacifica National Board. All 4 of them are up on pacifica.org, and you can look at them. And I have sent around links to them in the KPFK LSB news. But, you know, it's an open meeting. Everybody can get on who is here and wants to join us for that discussion.
Okay, well, Michael, thank you for moderating this meeting, leading us, and thanks to everyone who's still here, and to those who have already left. Interesting discussion, and I guess I'll see y'all on Sunday morning at what? At 10? Did you say or 10:30?
10:30.
10:30. All right.
December 12th.
Michael, is the meeting adjourned? Can I cut the stream?
I think so. Yeah, cut the stream. That's